The NBA is wrestling with millennials as their media consumption habits impact the ratings game. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel, with features like an ejectable TSA-proof battery or built-in front pocket and a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS.
How do you spell that again?
CLNS. When we first started doing this partnership with them, it was hard to spit that out. Yeah. I would say C, but...
Now I say it almost every 30 seconds
exactly.
For a lot of reasons.
Exactly. Yeah. So here we go, Jimmy. This is in your up your alley with what's going on in the NBA.
I read the article and sent it to you, and then, of course, I didn't print it. So that's okay. But I did read it, and I certainly understand the issues involved here.
Yeah, the Commissioner Adam Silver was in town over at MIT,
yep,
and was talking about a whole host of things having to do with the NBA. He was talking about how, I mean, we've seen on television a lot of childish behavior from some of these NBA players. They're whining, and so he addressed some of that. And we're not going to go into that today, but there was that. That was part of it, right? Where
yes.
There's every these.
We also said that everybody's melancholy. Everybody's just kind of
they're depressed.
Yeah.
He was pointing out that these young men, some of whom come from bad backgrounds, they make a lot of money or whatever, but there's
not enough.
Not enough to quell the angst,
yes,
if you will.
Did you hear Charles Barkley call out Kyrie Irving?
No, I did not.
Okay, so let's cut
Sir
to
Charles,
the chase.
What did Sir Charles do?
He basically told Kyrie to just shut up and play.
Shut up and make your
and
money.
You know,
count your
right,
money.
Exactly
shut up and count
right,
your money.
And don't be a baby about it.
Exactly.
And just play. Be a mature adult, which is a riot.
It's hard. It's great initially.
It's a riot because it's... Consider the source.
Yes, he was always a baby.
Yes.
Sir Charles.
I'm glad
Sir Charles,
you knew this, that.
Yes,
unless
Sir
you knew
Charles
that.
Was
right.
He wasn't making as much as the babies are making now, but.
There's a very interesting challenge.
Yes.
For the NBA.
Yes.
And it goes to the next episode of Behind the Media, too.
Yes.
It's about the fact that pretty much these millennials, these 18 to 34-year-old people, young people, they're still younger than me. They're all young enough to be my kid.
They're young, although they're getting older.
They are slowly getting older. But
right, Stephen? They are getting older?
Yeah, we are.
Good job.
Only correct answer is yes.
On the way to getting older,
right?
Okay, they are looking at content and differently than the
us.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, older people and those who are in charge of media.
Right.
I mean,
they aren't watching cable TV. They aren't signing up and paying the $59.99.
It's not cord cutters.
No,
it's cord nevers.
Right. And they don't. The only time they're watching. Cable news or any kind of, fixed, appointment viewing kind of stuff is when?
Live sports.
That's
the
only
time. And it is the last remaining, and it's always the most popular. It's very interesting. I think it was in this article in 2008, the top 13 out of the top 100 TV shows were sports.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, 93 of the top 100 shows that were
sports. Wow. Yeah.
On television. So that tells you that people are not watching television. It's not appointment viewing anymore.
It's not. No, they're not watching the way that we watch.
It's on-demand entertainment.
Right.
And
we should point out that while this is ultimately impacting the ratings for the NBA are actually pretty good.
They're very good right now.
Right. They have great ratings.
Internationally.
Basketball is, unlike some of the other sports here, like baseball and other American sports, basketball is kind of a universal sport.
Yes.
People enjoy it in places like Asia, for example.
Yes.
They play basketball. It's an easy sport to just, put a ring up and throw a ball. And
James Naismith, he was not a brain surgeon. He was a gym teacher. And he put a rim up there and put a little peach basket up there.
It was a basket.
He said, come on, boys, here's a ball.
That was a question on my eighth grade PE test on basketball.
Who invented it?
Who invented it and what did they put up on a pole or something?
Do you know what town invented volleyball?
I thought you were going to say basketball. I was getting it. I have no idea what invented.
Steve, hang on.
Steve, do you know?
Steve, our millennial, knows because he visited it with me.
Oh, really?
Yes, Steve. Where did volleyball begin?
Holyoke.
Holyoke, Massachusetts.
Holyoke volleyball began
there? Yes, and that's where the Volleyball Hall of Fame is, too.
Didn't even know there was a Volleyball Hall of Fame.
This fact, courtesy of Alex Morse, the mayor of Holyoke, Massachusetts,
wow,
who we got to interview a couple weeks back.
Well, interesting.
So I just thought I'd throw that in there. By the way, the demographic for volleyball is completely different than the demographic for the NBA, let's just say. All right?
So here's I wanted to quote a little bit from this article, and it was talking about how the target demo – which is the millennials. That's where they
18 to 34.
They all believe that there's money there. I'm not sure I totally agree with it, but nonetheless, everyone's flocking there. Mm-hmm. They have little interest in subscribing to the traditional pay TV bundles we've been talking about, like their parents did.
Right.
So here's how this has impacted the media partners. So those are like the ESPN and TNT.
TNT, yep.
Right. It says in the last 8 years, ESPN has lost north of 14 million linear subs.
Yep.
Right.
Subscribers.
Right. Exactly. While TNT has lost its footing in nearly 11 million households.
Right.
That's, you know, it's so eroding. It's like the house on a hillside. That used to have a big backyard, and now it's... What do you mean it's not eroding? Of course it's eroding.
We're going to bring Nielsen into this in a minute. Okay.
Yes, we are, and you hate them.
I hate them.
Right.
Because they've
I just gave you numbers.
Why
they're worse,
is it?
They've lost. How can negative be a positive?
It's not...
Show me some math here, Jimmy.
I guarantee...
Reverend Jimmy.
I'm going to... And again, you don't have to listen to me. You don't have to care. Whatever.
I have to listen to you. I got headphones on.
I know you have no choice, right? That's right. I like hanging out here. There are more people watching basketball now than ever before.
Right, but I'm not arguing that point. What I'm saying is that the households,
shame on
as
ESPN
they were registered,
and TNT
they're losing.
For waiting around for this to happen. And by the way, TNT has an app. ESPN
yes, they do.
Has an app.
They have an app.
Yep.
Yes.
And they should be able to measure who's on that app.
Well,
hang on a second.
But they're not just
think about
watching
the whole
on the
privacy
ESPN
thing.
App.
I get that. It's a specific, you know, if there's something live on that's like an NBA game, you know, they should know, hey, look, we had 14 million people on our app at 7:30, but now that the game started at 8, it's up to 18 million.
Yeah. But you know what else, Jimmy? It's not just about watching the entire game. It's people like me. For example, how do you think I watch I loved basketball growing up. I don't have time to watch basketball. How do you think I'll throw this out to Steven as well. How do either of you think I figure out what the highlights were, how our game went when I wake up in the morning?
Back in the day?
No, now. Now. Back in the day, there was only one way to do it.
All right, I'm going to say SportsCenter.
Okay.
Post-game show analysis.
Okay, neither one.
Okay.
I wake up in the morning, I go to my Instagram feed, and I pull up Bleacher Report, and Bleacher Report has the hottest clips of every single game that happened the night before, and that's all I need to see. Now, if I'm doing that, an old dude, imagine the young people. So it's not just about going to ESPN's app or going to TNT's app. It's that there's so many other places where I can get my fix on what happened in the game, after the game, whenever. Any one particular player I want to focus on, I can find something that just feeds me on that. That's
right. Especially if you have a fantasy team.
Exactly.
Which that's I believe has killed sports in a lot of ways,
but
too.
But that's the difficulty of this. It's a moving target. It's not as if, you know, we talk about in the United States and terrorism. It was a lot easier when we had the enemy in the Soviet Union. You know, you lob something there, they lob something at you.
Right.
When it became terrorists, which are lone people working all around, you don't really know where they, and I'm not making an idea. Don't say, oh, you're making a connection between terrorism and sports. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is that when you have a moving target, when people have access to consume things in many different ways, it is hard to truly measure what your audience is.
And again, let's talk about the money, because money dictates a lot of things in this world. The advertisers and sponsors who support the NBA are buying upfront media before the ratings come out, which, as I've talked to you about this, I can't understand why they don't just bill these companies for the audience that was delivered based on the delivery of
it. Why would you want to do that? No, you want to get money in your pocket as soon as you can.
Because it's been done that way forever.
Exactly.
But I mean,
I like that model.
But the internet, you can measure how many people are now online. You know,
yeah, but don't
you know
tell
how many
them
people
that.
Have videoed,
don't
have watched it on video. They want the back end information about where people are and how they are and what they're buying and what their habits are. And, you know, we're talking about privacy and access. It's access to the back end information that's being delivered by the live sport event that is the most valuable thing here.
Yeah, but Jimmy, you know how it's always been handled, right? You bill them for what you think you're going to get, and if you don't, you give them make goods.
I understand that.
That's the old model.
Right.
It's always worked that way.
Maybe it's time to take a look at this. Yes. As you know, I am building a little media company of my own, and I've considered this. Start billing people based on, hey, when we get 1,000 viewers, I'll bill you $50. So it's a cost per 1,000 of $50. We get to 10,000, I'm going to bill you for $500.
See, that I like that takes a lot of work.
I disagree. It's a software program more than anything.
It takes
else.
A lot of work.
Okay.
It takes a lot of work, and it takes it. It means that it's a longer period of time before money gets in your pocket, and that's why this model has been embraced for so long. I bill you for something that I tell you I'm going to deliver, and
underperforming.
You pay me the money
over-promising
for that upfront.
And under-delivering.
You're not over-promising. You're promising, and depending on what the forces are, it's either over-promising or under-promising.
And you're making good on delivering this, but not the same eyeballs at the same time because it's a live event, and once it's over, it's over.
Yeah. I don't think you throw out that old model. I think you have to figure out a way to integrate the new model into the old model. That's just smart.
I'm going to agree to you in principle. I don't know in practice how that's ever going to
happen. Well, neither do I.
Unless you start a media network like I am, really from the ground up, from zero viewers and zero subscribers.
That's not going to change anything. It's so complicated. It's the system. It's beyond just one entity. It's figuring out how to, it's going to be one person who somehow has the magic thing, the magic app that can take in everything from everywhere and measure everything at all times.
A fair and accurate rating that dictates how many people are watching and creating the audience. I'm all for that, by the way.
But I don't know if it'll happen.
Nielsen's out Monopoly last time I checked, and everybody kind of lets them float. And again, I've talked about how media companies tend to stay in their comfort zone.
Yes, they do.
Where they have made their money because they're businesses. And I know every year you want to up your profits in business because that's how you stay in business in a capitalist society.
It's how our world is in general.
Right.
Rarely does someone create a movie that's out of the box. It fits into action, whatever, because that's what they know people know. And it's dangerous to go outside of that because if it's a flop, it's an expensive flop.
Right. So I'm not, again, we were talking about the NBA, right?
Yes.
Can I just say something about Adam Silver?
Yes.
I think he's the best commissioner in sport.
Oh, well, I'd give him a silver.
David Stern before him did a hell of a job too, saving a league back in the early 70s.
So you say he's golden, not just a silver.
I think, oh, God. Sure, I'm saying he's golden.
I thought that was pretty good.
I'm sure, yes.
I like that a lot.
All right.
And if you liked it, tell us about it. Let us know. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. And also drop us a line at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.